Well, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 2 this morning as we are celebrating the last day in this week of Christmas. And we are just so blessed. It's been a beautiful year. We've had really beautiful Christmas weather up till this point. Today is a cold, wet, rainy day. But the Word of God has a way of just kind of warming our hearts. And let's just enjoy what the Lord has for us this morning. Heavenly Father, I love you. I love you. I love you so very much, Lord. Lord, I would ask that you would just put on our heart a fire that is burning, not just for a holiday, but Lord, always bring about a great, wonderful love in us that we might be considerate to those in our world, Lord. I would pray that those who are in our relationships with us, those who are in our church, as well as the ones that are walking in the door, Lord, to our church who have never been here before. We don't know anything about them. We don't know their struggles, Lord. We don't know what they're trying to get over or how to kick a habit or if they're struggling with an addiction, Lord, or they're dealing with a divorce, or what it is, Lord. But Lord, whatever we can do, let us not be a stumbling block to them. But let us be an open door to you, Lord. In all the things that we do, Lord, teach us to be like you. Amen. Well, now we are in the second chapter of the book of Matthew. And look what it says. It says, now after Jesus was born, where? It says, in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Now Judea was a region. And all the different regions were divided up by Rome and controlled by kings, what we would call governors. And these kings or governors over those environments had a lot of power. And they had the ability to assign that power out to different people. And you'll see back like when Jesus was being tried by the Romans, Herod, discovering that Jesus was a Nazarite, figured he could get off the hook and just send Jesus to Herod Agrippa. Well, Herod, the Herod we see here in Matthew chapter 2, is Herod the Great. But Herod, the son, is the same one in which dressed Jesus up like a king, had him mocked, and sent him back to Pilate. Pilate figured he could get off the hook. He figured that he could just send him as a Nazarite. Well, hey, I'll just let Herod, the son of Herod the Great, deal with this man. Well, here we have little Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod is where Christ is born. The prophecy was said that it would be in Bethlehem. It would not be in a neighboring town, but it was going to be in Bethlehem. And you kind of wonder, why Bethlehem? Well, remember, Bethlehem is the city of David, where his family came from. You go back into the book of Ruth and Naomi, you'll see that. Where Naomi and Boaz and Ruth and all them were communicating and relating to each other there. It was in Bethlehem. Now it says here, behold, wise men from where? It says from the east came to Jerusalem. Now, like when we were having our Christmas party, I was teasing the kids. I said I could ask a trick question on how many wise men there were. Well, traditionally, we think there's three. Where did we get the idea that there was three? Well, about 1,000 years, roughly, after Christ had been born, lived his life, died, rose to heaven, about 1,000 years after that, outside of the tomb, not the tomb, but excuse me, the birthplace of Christ, there on the cave walls, they have carved images, and they're still there today. You can go and see them. There's three images of three men carrying gifts. There are three different gifts, so they assume there's three wise men. We do not know, but I will tell you, when men traveled in that day and age, who traveled with gold, frankincense, and myrrh, these are very precious commodities. You didn't just travel three guys on their camels riding by themselves, but they would actually enter the city or the region of Judea, and everybody saw them coming in. You're talking probably a large caravan. They probably had security officers. They probably had a small army with them, basically. And it says they came in from the east. Well, we wonder, well, how far east? Well, a lot of people believe it was Mesopotamia. They think possibly that it was maybe the area of Babylon, the region of Babylon, where these men had come. Look what it says about them, though. It says, they came from the east to Jerusalem, and this is what they were saying. They were inquiring, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? That is a very interesting thing. These men are what? They're Gentiles. They want to know, where is the King of the Jews? Look what it says also. For we have seen his star. Now, if you look over in the book of Numbers in chapter 24, you'll see another Gentile who was a prophet of God, and his name was Balaam. He's the guy, remember, to the donkey, you know, he talked with the donkey and the donkey talked back. Well, in his prophecies, the enemy of Israel wanted him to prophesy wickedness and evil against, in other words, a curse on Israel. But every time he opened his mouth, he gave praises to Israel. And one of those, there in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, it says, it references the star of the Jews, that it's coming. Maybe it was a prophecy about this star. When you read the book of Luke, you do not get the account of the star. But Luke picks up other things. These are synoptic, meaning perspective of Matthew is being presented here. The perspective of Luke is secondhand information, but is from Luke's perspective. But look what else we learn from it. It says, we have seen his star in the east, meaning they saw something as far away as the east, and somehow they were able to recognize it belonged to him. It was a sign in the heavens. And as to what it was, we're not sure. It says here they had come to worship him. They come to worship a human being? No. They know the prophecies. They know God had promised that he would himself bring salvation unto the world. That he was going to make the difference. That it wasn't going to go through the blood of animals. That it was going to come through God himself. And that he was going to write on the hearts of men. Before he wrote on stones, now he's going to write on the hearts of men. It seems that when Israel maybe was in Babylon captivity, people like who? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, as well as Daniel were there, weren't they? And they made an impact. They shared God with the Babylonian people. They saw the miracles performed. Remember when they were cast into the fire and they didn't die? That's a miracle. Remember what Nebuchadnezzar said? He counted the men in the furnace and he said, hey, there's another guy in there who looks as unto the Son of God. Wow. So somehow maybe studiers of the God of Israel kept studying the God of Israel, and God put it on their heart to know that the king of the Jews was not just the king of the Jews, but he was going to be the king of everybody. He was going to be the king of the Gentiles as well. And he was worthy to be worshipped. They came a long ways. They believed in what they were doing too. Can you imagine someone says, you know, I had a dream or I have a vision. Let's go do this. And they go and it seems like, well, do we trust it? Do we count on it? Is it worthy? And you go and you might look stupid if it's not real. But these men believed in what they were doing. They believed they saw the star. They calculated it. They followed it. And it came to rest ultimately, and we'll read, above the house of Matthew. The house of Jesus where he was staying. Now, they believed it. They were willing to spend money, to bring gifts. How far are Christians willing to go today? How far are they willing to go? Third verse says, when Herod the king heard this, and I guarantee word was all over the place, that these men, these wise men, also in some of your translation called them magi, which refers to, you know, it's not magic, but it means those who are inquirers. It means seekers, like scientists. Maybe they were studying the stars. Who knows? But when King Herod heard this, he was troubled. And let me tell you what. When King Herod was troubled, everybody was troubled. Look what it says. And all Jerusalem with him. When King Herod was troubled, everybody was troubled. King Herod was a psychopath. He was a nutcase. He was a great engineer. Did things that nobody could ever imagine. He actually built a mountain. A lot of people don't know this, but he built a mountain. Not a building. He put a building on the mountain. But he built a mountain called what? Herodias is the name of the mountain. It's about 20 miles, I think, southeast of Jerusalem. It's a mountain there. He had it built. And he filled it all with giant aqueducts, the whole water, because it's out there in the desert. And he built this giant palace. And it was basically a tomb for himself. Because he was all about Herod. All about Herod. Herod was an amazing engineer. Amazing dreamer. But he was also a very dangerous man. And it says here, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ would be born. You see, Herod had some Jewish blood in him, but he's mainly Gentile. He worships other gods. He inquires and says, excuse me, but this king of the Jews who one day is supposed to come, Can you tell me kind of where he's going to be born at? So they said to him, they didn't guess, they didn't debate it. It was clear, the scriptures say. You see, scripture is holy. Scripture is accurate. Scripture is trustworthy. They said, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then in verse 7, then Herod, when he had secretly called the Magi, or wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. You see, notice it says that it appeared. It wasn't there, and then it was there. Now, there's arguments about what it is. Some people will say it was the planet Venus. Well, the planet Venus is there, has been there, and continues to be there. It didn't just appear. This appears. Some people say it's a comet. Josephus describes comets. He describes comets perfectly in his writings, and he describes them with tails. And they know they're different from stars. They're described as visitors, light visitors, and sometimes described as daggers in the sky, like a pointed dagger. I don't think it's a comet. He asked, oh, by the way, can you tell me what time this appeared? So he's a smart guy, isn't he? One, he's already figured out where the child's going to be born at. Now he has to determine time. Has he not been born yet, or has he already been born? You notice in verse 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. You see, Herod was a lot like a lot of people who claim to be Christians. Herod is a lot like people who claim to be Christian. They'll say, oh, how was church? Oh, it was great. Oh, tell me more about it. Oh, I don't want to go to church. I won't come to church. But it's sure nice to be around you Christians. You see, the wise men, they came to Judea. They searched out Judea. And they wanted to know Christ, to encounter him, to worship him. Where Herod, he's like, oh, just let me know. I don't have time, but I'm busy this weekend. But if you could just let me know. Okay, yeah, whatever. I'll show up later. A lot like a lot of people who claim to be followers of God. But I was talking with young Brandon. He's one of our students here this morning. He was riding in with me. We were talking about the weather. And the Lord was putting on my heart how sometimes when you have a lot of cold, wet, rainy weather, people won't show up. Even on Christmas Sunday, they won't show up. And I mentioned to him that Christianity is not convenient. Discipleship is not convenient. But following Christ does not always make it easy. It's sometimes hard. Here you've got a guy who is just, let me know. Y'all have a good trip now. See you later. That's Herod. is it that I may come and worship him also. Verse 9, look what it says. And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, watch this, the star which they had seen in the east, look what it's doing. It says it went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, that's a very interesting thing. Now, with a sextant, a device that you look at stars with to determine your location, you can determine exactly where the star is, kind of. With a sextant, you can get a pretty good idea and where it's lining up on the earth. But in the Old Testament, during Israel's travel through the wilderness, it said that God led them by a cloud by day, but at night by a fire in the sky. And wherever the cloud or fire went, they were to follow him, to follow it. And when it rested, they would stop. It would go before them. When God came down from the fiery mountain there on Mount Sinai and came into the camp of Israel, a lot of people were terrified at the idea that this fiery, rumbling, thundering God on the mountain was actually going to come down and live in their camp. But that's exactly what it did. It said the Shekinah glory of God came and was over the tabernacle in the wilderness. I'm just wondering if the star they saw was actually the Shekinah glory of God moving and going before them, leading them. It said it appeared above the house. It was visible. It was seen. It was not imaginary. And it wasn't like a star exactly, but it seemed to be a guide, a sign, an indicator. Look what else we learn. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly great joy. Wow. In Luke's description of the Bible story that we know of, the angels announced the birth of Christ to a bunch of shepherds. And it's similar wording, exceedingly great joy. I have exceedingly great tidings to share with you. For behold, born in the town below, the city of David, Christ is born. This here now is a couple years later, almost, you know. It's Christ is no longer living in a cave. He was born in a cave that was used to house animals. Here it says a house. It says when they had come into the what? The house. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Can you imagine? There's Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus. And life is just a normal, everyday thing. Except right above your house, there is this Shekinah glory, bright star thing glowing above your house, visible for everyone to see. It wasn't there the other day, but now it is. Like a big bright light. Like an "we're open" sign at a hotel. You know, you look driving down the road and you're looking for a hotel and you look up ahead and you see the Hampton Inn. Well, imagine a big bright light above your house. Clearly seen. Miraculous. People must have been just gawking at it. Well, here comes none other than the wise men They come into the house and they are elated. There is the child, Christ. And they what? They fall down and worship Him. Interestingly, Gentiles worship Him first. Very interesting. The rejected people of the earth, basically. The outcast. These are not even... I mean, if they're Babylonian, people really didn't like Babylonians because of the Israeli or the Israel's captivity in Babylon that had destroyed so much of their culture. And it says, and when they had opened their treasures, it says they presented gifts to Him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Very, very, very interesting items. Gold, certainly representing kingliness. Frankincense and myrrh. These are things used as incense as well as in burials. And very expensive stuff. Very, very expensive stuff. Very timely, though. We'll get to that. They leave, I imagine, after a period of time. It says, then, being divinely warned in a dream, it did not say one person got the dream. It didn't say multiple people got the dream of the wise men. But somebody received a dream. It may have been all of them received the same dream. That they should not return to Herod. They departed for their own country another way. Meaning, they got out of Dodge and got out of Dodge quick. Because they were divinely warned in a dream, do not share with Herod the address of this little baby. Even though a bright star was hovering above the house. How did Herod not know? Maybe those who are spiritually enlightened could see it, and those who weren't could not. Makes you wonder. The word doesn't say. We don't know. I mean, wouldn't Herod go, I wonder where they're... Oh, there's a star. That's an unusual object hovering there in the sky. Let's go look. Was it possible that only those who were spiritually enlightened could see it? We do not know. It is a mystery. But it makes me really think. If I was Herod and I really wanted to know where this future king was at, and I got this giant entourage of Babylonians have showed up in my town looking for him, I'm going to be curious. And so it makes you wonder if he could not see or others could not see what they could see. We do not know. But they fled because they were divinely warned. Now, in verse 13, it says, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Now, we know Joseph was extremely troubled over the idea that Mary was pregnant. He had nothing to do with it. The Lord reaffirmed him in chapter 1 that Mary was honorable, and that the child that she was carrying was that which was the Christ. So he took her as his wife. He receives another dream. This dream is an alarm. Get up out of bed right now and get out of town. It says, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Now we get to the part where the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh came in handy. To suddenly leave without a lot of money, without a lot of funds, without a lot of resources. But now they had gold, they had frankincense, and they had myrrh. These things can be traded as commodities and used to support themselves as they leave. But there's also another purpose to it. It says in verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. A lot of people would say, oh, well, he's an Egyptian. No. Out of Egypt, God also called Israel out of her and brought her out of Egypt. Israel was enslaved. Maybe this is a kind of a thing to show that he is indeed coming out of Egypt. And he did a long time before he was ever born. Because who led them out of Egypt? Moses participated, but it was God who brought them out of Egypt. It was God who was there in Egypt listening to their cries. And remember when Moses says, do you not hear the cries of your people? And God says, yeah, I hear the cries of the people. Of course I do. He was already there with them. He was there with them before they ever went into Egypt with Joseph. He comes out of Egypt with them, but then Christ himself, as a little boy, a little toddler, goes secretly in the night from Bethlehem to Egypt, and he stays there till the death of Herod, fulfilling the prophecy. Out of Egypt I called my son. 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, he was exceedingly angry. Herod was known for doing some really crazy things. And according to what we know for secular history, he did this several times, not just killing one batch of babies, but he would sometimes send punishers into the community to kill children. It did two things. It sent a message that you better obey, and two, it reduced the population of the Jews to a more manageable number. Herod was deceived by the wise men. He became angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, meaning throughout Judea, from 2 years old and under. He didn't know exactly when Christ was born, but he knew the star appeared at a certain time. So he wanted to make sure he covered the range. It says, and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken of by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentations, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Verse 19. Now when Herod was dead, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. This is Joseph's third dream. Saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And there he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Now, interestingly enough, Nazarenes, while they were the worst of the worst of the worst, there was a saying at the time that there's no way the Messiah can be called a Nazarite because nothing good comes from Nazareth. And if I remember correctly, Nazareth was the hometown of who? Mary. I might be mistaken, but I believe it was Mary. Jesus goes to the land of Galilee there in Nazareth. It's not under the Judean environment that Herod controls, but under another governor. And he living in a home, living with Joseph. As far as we know, Joseph is right here, right? This is it. Pretty soon we're going to read where Jesus is in the temple and he's teaching the masters. Pretty much sooner or later, we don't read of Joseph any longer. We don't know if Joseph dies, if Joseph is killed, or what, but he's no longer identified. Jesus is called a Nazarene. You have some churches called the Church of the Nazarene. You have Nazarenes were part of what is called the Golden Triangle. It's found there in Galilee. You had Nazareth as one of its key cities. But you know what they were also known for? They were known for people that took God's word very, very serious. They were studiers of God's word. They worshipped in a more pure sense than those in Jerusalem. They were very focused on what God was doing. They were kind of like the Bereans, if you would. They were very, very intense people. They believed in bringing God's word alive. A lot of prophets went through that area. A lot of your rabbis would tour through the Galilean Nazareth area. Where does Jesus operate out of? He operates in that area. Next week we're going to pick up with John the Baptist as he prepares the way for Christ. And we're going to study a little bit about John and a little bit about the work that he does as a forebearer for the name of Christ. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, it is your glory, Lord. It is you, Lord. It's all about you, your wonderful coming to this earth, how you prepared Mary as a mother, as well as his stepfather, Joseph. Lord, you prepared them, you used them, you opened up their situation for blessings as well as challenges, Lord. Lord, teach us the same way to be understanding that at times we can be challenged, at times we can be blessed, but to always be focused on you, Lord. We thank you for blessing us. We ask you to bless us continually. Bless us as we prepare our hearts to read chapter 3. And then before you know it, Lord, we'll be in chapter 4. And then we'll see the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask you to watch over us and bless us. In your holy name, Lord. Amen.